New Beginnings. As I was preparing this month's message, staring off into space as I usually do, waiting for inspiration, I happened to notice last year's calendar on my desk. Being the queen of procrastination, I decided to flip through it, presumably to get an idea for this month's message. As I glanced at dates that had come and gone, I noticed one in particular that hadn't caught my attention until that moment. It wasn't anything significant. In fact, nothing memorable had happened on that day at any time in my past. Yet it grabbed my attention like no other. The date was December 29th. As I sat there and looked at December 29, I noticed something special. It's exactly 4 days after Christmas and 4 days before New Year's Day. It's right there in the middle of two very big new beginnings, and I'd never gave it a thought until now. New beginnings are special. They mark chapters in our lives. Our first day of school begins our life of scholarship. We're officially old enough to drive on our 16th birthday, which becomes our first taste of freedom. On our 18th birthday, we are considered an adult, and by age 21, we're considered old enough to consume alcohol. Somewhere along our lifetime, we may begin a new life together with a special partner, and eventually, through either death or divorce, we begin life again as a single person. Bringing a child into the world sets in motion many new beginnings. Bringing the baby home, watching it take its first step, sending our little one to school for the first time. Our first confession of faith, when we say we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and accept Him as our Lord and Savior, sets us on the path of living a Christian life. So many new beginnings. On December 29th, we are between the birthday of our Lord and the birth of a new year. When Jesus was born, a new religion was born that has affected so many ways we do things, from the way we count the years to the way we do business. Even the way we see each other is influenced by this new beginning of a baby boy born over 2,000 years ago. Unfortunately, that new beginning way back then has been complicated over the years. For some, the shiny has worn off, and the fire that blazed on Pentecost, the birth and new beginning of the church, has burned itself down to coals. It's not out by any means, but it's not as bright as it used to be. Like all new beginnings, after time has passed and that new thing begins to show some wear, we begin to lose interest, just like a child with a new toy. How many of you have seen that happen? A child receives a new toy and plays with it all the time. They eat with it, sleep with it, take it everywhere they go. But as the days go by, the toy spends more and more time in the toy box with all the other toys that were once new. Adults aren't exempt from this. How many of you make New Year's resolutions? Do you keep them all year? Or do they fade from your mind in 6 months? I've only made one New Year's resolution that I could keep, to not make any New Year's resolutions. All the others, from making lots of new friends, to studying harder, to trying to keep the house clean, have gone by the wayside by February. What about when we begin a new job? When we first start, it may seem like a dream come true. Our fellow employees are nice. Our boss is considerate and understanding. The pay is fine. Even the work itself is fun. Then, as one day flows into the next and the years grind by, that job starts to lose its shiny. We start complaining about the amount of work we have or don't have. The pay no longer meets the needs we have. The boss has begun to demand more, and we've been introduced to the gossip mill, in which there is bound to be some tall tale flying around about us. Has the job changed, or have we? It's just the wear and tear of life we're feeling. Sometimes, when we start out on our Christian path, we resolve to do certain things, like read the Bible every day, pray every night before bed, go to church every Sunday, and so on and so on. But as time goes by, we often find excuses not to do those things we resolved to do. We begin to see how difficult it is to stay disciplined in our daily Bible readings. Outside activities like work, ball games, and family get-togethers gradually replace going to church every Sunday. Our nightly prayers get put off until the morning because we're so exhausted from all the day's stressful activities, and then forgotten in the morning rush to get the kids ready for school and ourselves ready for work. As time goes by, the shiny wears off our new beginning. Before long, we find ourselves looking back at our own personal Pentecost, our new beginnings, and find that we've allowed the fire to burn down to coals. However, there is hope, and Isaiah gives us a small glimpse. At the time of this prophecy, Israel was in exile. They were crying out to be delivered. From the new beginning of being led out of their enslavement at Pharaoh's hands and receiving the land of milk and honey, the Israelites allowed the shiny to wear off until, because of their lax ways, their disobedience to God's laws, they found themselves in exile, once again in bondage to a foreign nation. God heard their cries. Unbeknownst to the Israelites, they were sitting in the middle of two new beginnings. God sent Isaiah to tell the people that they would be delivered, that he forgave them and would soon be sending them a new beginning. According to a book I read while studying this text, God sent a man named Cyrus to help free the Israelites from their bondage. This was the man Isaiah was prophesying about to the Israelites. But God is full of new beginnings. Isaiah's prophecy to the Israelites way back then would come true a second time in a much more dramatic way through Jesus. While Cyrus was sent to set the Israelites free from their exile, Jesus came to set the world free from our exile. Because of Jesus, we can have a personal relationship with a loving God. We're no longer exiled into a relationship to a distant, judging God. We can now experience God's love toward us to its fullest. I'd like to share a story with you. It's the story of one of my new beginnings. When I read this text, the images of the bride and the bridegroom adorning themselves leapt out at me. Marriage has been for me the biggest and best new beginning God has ever given me. Before we said our vows, though, I did a lot of research on what makes a marriage good. Simply put, I only wanted to do this once, so I wanted all the information I could get on how to make it last. One thing I discovered is that within 2 years, the in-love feeling couples have when they first start dating or get married disappears. Now, a relationship built solely on being in love, I read, was almost always doomed to failure. Let's face it, folks, being married is work. So, I came to the altar fully aware of that little fact. I was determined to work hard not to take my husband for granted, but I was afraid that that would happen anyway. I was afraid we would grow apart, that by the time we reached our 2-year mark of being together, I would find I was falling out of love. When we moved to Texas, we were constantly called the newlyweds. People kept telling us that eventually, the strong bond we have would fade away to a civilized friendship. We would no longer be in love. It's been well over 2 years since we got together, and it hasn't happened yet. In fact, he is my best friend and much more. We both make time in our busy schedules for each other, and purposely do nice things for each other on a daily basis. Oh, we have our disagreements. We're not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. Sometimes we get irritated with each other's little habits. Sometimes we do something or say something that really hurts the other's feelings. We're human, with all the failings humans have. But God has taught us both a very important lesson through it all. Every time things start getting tense, every time one of us says or does something that hurts the other, there is always a chance for a new beginning. All that's needed is forgiveness freely given and freely accepted. Now that's easier said than done, I know. Forgiveness is one of the hardest things to give. It's also one of the hardest things to accept. When someone you trusted betrays that trust, forgiving them is often the furthest thing from your mind. Instead, you want to hurt them back, to make them feel as bad as you do. In my own Christian journey, I've struggled with being able to forgive without reservation. I've had trusted friends turn on me in the blink of an eye and cause things I've gained at some cost to be taken away. I've had loved ones lie to me and tell others false things about me. Each time I had a choice to make. I could forgive that person that hurt me, or I could do my best to make them suffer. It's never been an easy choice, no matter who the offender was or what was done. There have been some things and people I've managed to forgive completely. There are many I am still trying to forgive. It's a daily struggle. The good news is that each time I am able to fully forgive someone, I find a new beginning. It's not just a new beginning for that person. No, it's as much a new beginning for me as it is for that person. That, I think, is what has helped keep me from falling out of love with my husband, and what will continue to help me in the future. When I think about forgiveness and new beginnings, I'm drawn to the story of the prodigal son. In the story, we are introduced to a father with two sons. The younger son demands to have now what his father would leave him when he dies, in essence telling his father that he wishes he were dead. Talk about betrayal! That had to hurt the father considerably. After getting his inheritance, the younger son leaves and spends his money on wild parties and a lifestyle any rock star would be proud of. But, like the Israelites years before, when the economy goes down the toilet and a famine hits, the younger son finds he spent all his money foolishly. His only way of survival is to work on a pig farm. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been on a pig farm, but they aren't the most wonderful places to be. Many of our farms are very clean, but I've never been around one that didn't have a very distinct smell. One that was not at all pleasant. Raising pigs is a necessary and honorable way of life, but for this younger son, who was used to high living, having to feed the pigs a bucket full of leftovers mixed together in a nasty-looking slop would have been a big step down. He was in the middle of two new beginnings. It wasn't until he went home, carefully rehearsing a speech to beg his father to give him at least a place among the hired hands, that he stumbled upon the second new beginning. His father raced to welcome him home. Not only did his father forgive him for wishing he were dead and demanding his half of the inheritance, he also commanded a feast to be given in the son's honor. The father had the younger son decked out in the finest robes and jewelry, a true sign that he had forgiven his son completely, giving the younger son a needed new beginning. The Israelites discovered it in their exile. The younger son learned it on a pig farm. And we know it ourselves. Sometimes, being in the middle of two new beginnings can be more than just uncomfortable. In our lives, we can't just look at a calendar and realize that a new beginning is just 4 days away. Our lives aren't like a child with an old toy who expectantly awaits Christmas, knowing they'll be getting a new toy. Because when we're between new beginnings, we don't know how long it will be from one to the next. We don't have a prophet like Isaiah telling us that God is about to deliver us. Like the younger son, we walk down the road toward our Heavenly Father's place, rehearsing our humble speech to beg for a place among the hired hands. But like the father in the story, like Isaiah's prophecy, God is waiting for us to come home so he can dress us in the finest robes and jewelry of a new beginning.